All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4 for the message this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, the first part of this chapter, I know you're familiar with. This is where Paul challenges and charges the young preacher Timothy to preach the word. Remember that? Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. And then he goes on to say that he was ready to depart. It was his time. He said, I have fought a good fight in verse 7. I have fought a good fight and I finished my course and I have kept the faith. All right. So we're familiar with the first part of this, but I want to read the last part of this and then I will explain to you what I want to preach on. Now you will notice I'm going to read a bunch of names. These are all people that were familiar with Paul. He hung around with these people. They were his friends, some of them. Some of them, of course, turned on him, you will remember. They turned on him, and thus causing Paul to be brokenhearted. But as I read these, I want you just to stop and think about the fact that these were real people, all right? These were real live people. They were real individuals, all right? So beginning in verse 9, and you follow now as I read, beginning in verse 9, it says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas," that's a man's name, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Now, Demas, you can go back and read in some other places, Demas was close to Paul. They were traveling companions, and Demas forsook Paul in Paul's latter days. He left. Why? Paul said he loved this present world. He loved partying more than he loved praying. All right, so he left Paul. Read on. It says that Demas was departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens, another fella, to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Now this Luke, you know, he's the guy that wrote the Gospel of Luke. And he's also the fellow that wrote the book of Acts. All right, so Paul says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, Paul says, take Mark. Now look at me. Mark is John Mark, the guy that wrote the Gospel of Mark. All right, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke. So Luke is with Paul. He's the only one that is with Paul now. He's in Rome. Paul's in Rome when he writes this. He's in jail awaiting execution. And so he says to Timothy, get Mark and bring him with you when you come to visit, when you come to see me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me in the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Now, what were on the parchments? The Bible. That's why he wants the parchments. They were the scrolls. Bring the scriptures with you when you come. He's in prison. And he probably wore out the ones he had. So he says, bring the books and the parchments. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Now, isn't it interesting? Paul realized that it is not his job to get vengeance on those that had wronged him, nor is it our job to get vengeance on those that have wronged us. If you are looking to get even with someone for what they have done to you, you're just going to waste your life. You're just going to waste your life. My job, your job, is not to get even with people that mistreat us. You let God take care of them, and God will. So this is what he said of Alexander. He did me much evil, but the Lord reward him. Verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Wow. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You know what happened here? Paul was thrown into an arena and the lions were turned loose. And the lions, God would not let them eat Paul. Now you stop and think about that. God shut the mouths of the lions. And we talk about Daniel down in the lion's den. Well, here's Paul in the lion's den. They threw him into an arena. The crowd gathered and they threw the Christians in the arena, let the lions loose, and the lions, they had to fight for their lives. But these lions refused to eat Paul. So they had to get Paul out of there. God delivered him. Verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila. That's Aquila and Priscilla, probably husband and wife, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus, verse 20, abode at Corinth, and Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be unto you. Amen. All right, now, I want you to look back at verse 20 in the last part, second half of that verse. In the second half of the verse, Paul says, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. I want to speak to you on Trophimus this morning. That this was a real man, a real person. And Paul said, I had to leave him at Miletum because he was sick. He couldn't travel. So I had to leave him at Miletum. You say, well, Pastor, what in the world are you going, how are you going to preach for 35 minutes on a guy that there's only one little half a verse about him? I don't know. But I'm going to try. All right, let's pray and end the message. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. And thank you for what we can glean from the scriptures. And I pray that you will bless this morning. I ask you to fill me with your spirit and help me as I speak. And I pray that what is said today will help folks. I pray that it will lift us up, that it will encourage our hearts and just help us to understand a little more about the Christian life and serving and living for Jesus in these last days. So, Father, bless the message and speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning about a fellow who is mentioned here in this 20th verse. His name is Trophimus. He was traveling with Paul, one of Paul's many traveling companions. And I want you to notice that he is one of the last men who was mentioned from the lips of Paul. 2 Timothy is Paul's last book. Shortly after this book was written, Paul was taken and executed. He had his head chopped off for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And notice that Trophimus was one of the last men who was ever named from the lips of the Apostle Paul. Only four others were mentioned after Trophimus. There was a fellow by the name of Eubulus, a fellow by the name of Pudens, and another by the name of Linus, and then Claudia, a woman, probably one of the servants who took care of Paul and helped him while he was in prison. And all of these identified as Christian believers at Rome, where Paul was being kept as a prisoner for preaching the gospel of Christ. Now, what interested me and thus precipitated the message this morning was what was said about this fella Trophimus, who was left at Miletum sick. Of Paul's traveling companions, he said that only Luke was now with him in Rome. Demas had forsaken him, having loved this present world. And then there was another preacher that was alongside of Paul for years. His name was Crescens, and he had gone to Galatia. Titus, there's a book, the next book, as a matter of fact, in your Bible is an epistle from Paul to Titus. And Titus had gone to Dalmatia. And then a fellow named Tychicus, who we learn from another passage, traveled with Paul as his secretary. In other words, he wrote for Paul. Paul was up in years, and you'll remember in Galatians, the book to the Galatian church, he talked about how large a letter he had written. Some people think that his thorn in the flesh was that he lost his vision when he got to be an old man. And so he needed someone who could write for him. And he would dictate, and then Tychicus would serve as a secretary. It's called, the actual position is called an amanuensis. And he would write out what Paul wanted written. And he was sent on an errand to Ephesus, so it was only Paul and Luke. And then you will notice that Trophimus was left at Miletum sick. Now, Trophimus was one of Paul's converts when Paul was in the city of Ephesus. That's where Trophimus lived. And that's where Trophimus heard the gospel and received Christ as his personal savior. You might remember that when Paul was in Ephesus, that he got into a real big mess. What happened was he came in and started preaching the gospel, and the people were getting saved, and when they got saved, they no longer needed their idols. And so the silversmiths got upset with Paul because all these folks were getting saved and they weren't buying idols any longer. And so the silversmiths got mad, and they came and protested Paul, and a riot broke out, and it was just an absolute mess. But you see, when you get saved, you don't bow down and worship idols any longer. Amen. And so Trophimus was one that got saved and started following and traveling with Paul right there. So when Paul left the city of Ephesus and then went to Macedonia, which is in Greece, and started to preach the gospel there, Trophimus went with him. Now, when Paul then went back to Jerusalem, Trophimus went to Jerusalem with him and all these others, and Paul got in trouble again. This time, he got in trouble for taking Gentiles up on the Temple Mount. Now, those of you that have been with me over to the Holy Land, you know how difficult it is nowadays to get on the Temple Mount. That area is where the Muslim temple, the Dome of the Rock, is, and that is the second most holy spot in Islam. And so they don't like it when folks go up there. They don't like it. You got to call ahead. You got to get permission. You got to bribe some people to get up there. You just can't go and say, "Hey, we want to go up on the Temple Mount." You can't do that. You have to prepare for that. Pay some people, grease some palms, and then they'll let you up. But you better not have a Bible. And you better not teach, and you better not be seen praying, because you'll get asked to leave, and not asked nicely, all right? And so it's a problem today. Well, it was a problem in Paul's day. So you say, well, what was the problem? Well, the problem was that Gentiles were up on the Temple Mount, and those Pharisees and those Sadducees and those religious Jews did not like it that men like Trophimus, a Gentile, was up on the Temple Mount. So there's Paul with all these Gentile converts that he has led to Christ on that missionary journey he just went on, and he takes them up to show them the temple and to show them all the things that were on the Temple Mount. And another riot started. And that was when Paul was arrested and carted off and sent to Festus and to Agrippa and eventually to Rome, where he eventually had his head removed. So Paul, again, creating a stir. It seems like everywhere Paul went, he created a stir. And it was on that trip to on the way to Rome where Trophimus was dropped off in Miletum because he was sick. Too sick to travel. Now, I want us to think about this matter of sickness this morning. Trophimus was left behind in Miletum because he was sick. Let's think about this matter of sickness this morning. First of all, I want you to understand this, church. Sickness is going to come to all of us one day. I hate to say that, but that is the truth. And you know it's the truth. Sickness is a universal experience. And it will come to me and my life, and it will come to you and your life. We all experience it in our lifetimes. Did Trophimus recover in Miletum? We don't know. That there is no record, no other word other than the fact that he was dropped off at Miletum, a city just south of Ephesus in what is today Turkey. Did he recover there? We don't know. Did he regain his strength and catch another boat and take it over and cross the land to catch up with Paul and his friends in Rome? We do not know. Did he die at Miletus? And did they have to bury his body in a strange and foreign land? Well, the truth is, folks, we have no record, and we're just going to have to wait until we get to heaven to find out the answer to these questions. But one thing we do know, we know that Trophimus had to be left behind in Miletus. I think one thing we can be assured of was that Trophimus was eager and he was on board with Paul and his agenda to preach the gospel. I think we can be assured of that. For you see, it was in the middle of service that Trophimus had to be let off in Miletus. He was too sick to travel, but he was traveling when he got sick. And so he had to take a time and get well, and he could not continue on with the apostle. You see, being a companion of the apostle Paul, even though Paul is now in his old age, would not be a walk in the park. I mean, you hung around with Paul, you went into town, the first thing you did was not check out the Holiday Inn Express. No, you went to check out the jail, because that's probably where you were going to end up before the day was over. That's how Paul lived his life. Anyone who chose to companion with Paul had to quickly realize the hardships and the dangers and the hazards that just seemed to follow his every step. And certainly, Trophimus was more than eager to share in Paul's struggles. But as it is so many times the case, sickness kept him from doing what was in his heart and will to do. No doubt, he wanted to stay with Paul and go on to Greece and then go on to Italy and be there with Paul at every turn of the road. But sickness, in whatever form it came upon him, knocked him down and he was forced to be left behind. Folks, listen, it is sad the number of folks who have been held back by sickness through the centuries. How many great undertakings have been stopped by sickness? How many plans have had to be abandoned because sickness came? How many journeys had to be scrapped? How many good books were never written? How many great sermons were never preached? The truth is, folks, many times we see the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is one reason why every believer ought to serve God in your youth. While you have the strength, while you have the energy, while you are healthy, while you can have the energy to channel into the work of the Lord, you ought to just give yourself to that cause. There is probably not a week that goes by, but what I get an email or a phone call, and I get invited to go to the Philippines to preach, or I get invited to go to Africa to preach. Recently got an email from a missionary in Africa, and it was begging me to come and preach for him and in his city, and guaranteeing that there would be thousands of people that I could preach to. I get invitations to come to India all the time. Just recently got an email from one of the pastors that I met in China wanting me to come back and preach in China again. And I would love to do all that, but the simple truth of the matter is, I just don't think I could make it nowadays. I mean, I just don't know that I would have the strength to go do it. I mean, you're talking about 24, 27 hours in an airplane. You're talking about going 12 hours time zone difference. You're talking about sitting in an airplane with your knees up underneath your chin, you know, for 27 hours. That's not easy to do when you're 64 years old. And so I have to realize that reality has set in. And I have to face that reality and thank them for the invitation, but just say, I just don't think I could make it. You see, the truth is, folks, sickness is a very common detour that we all eventually have to face. I mean, think about it. You're going down the road and you're on a good highway and you're making good time, but then there's a sign and it says detour, and you get shoved off of that road onto some little rocky road that you have no idea where you are and no idea where it's going to take you, and you're just blindly following the signs that you hope will get you back to civilization again. And folks, it's the same way in life. And you'll be going down the road and all of a sudden there is a detour that is called sickness. And you know, the miles had been smooth and the travel had been great, but then suddenly you have to slam on the brakes and you find yourself detoured by sickness. And that is exactly what happened to Trophimus. Secondly, God can sometimes have a plan in the sickness. Well, we need to realize that. I know that a lot of folks in our church are dealing with various illnesses and sicknesses right now. But Christian, realize God very often, more times than not, has a plan in the sickness. There are many in the Bible who are an example of this. You remember David's son who was born out of wedlock to Bathsheba. And you remember that after her sin of adultery with David, and the baby died, and David wept bitterly and fasted and prayed. But yet God took the child. The child passed away. But folks, realize we would not have Psalm 51 in our Bibles had that not happened. Realize that we would not have that great psalm where David repented of his sin and was broken before God. And that passage of scripture that has been such an inspiration to millions of God's people through the decades. Remember so many examples. Remember Elisha. And the son, the little son of that Shunammite woman. Remember Naaman, the Syrian captain, of whom the Bible says that he was a great man, but was a leper. Think about King Hezekiah, that man for whom the shadow ran back 10 degrees on the dial of life, who when he was recovering from his sickness said, by these things men live. Think about all the myriad of people who were miraculously healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine, folks, some guy comes to Jesus and is healed, and then weeks later, let's say he had a broken leg when he was a child, and so he walked with a crutch, he walked with a limp, he walked with a halted gait, but then he comes to Jesus and he gets healed. And then weeks later, some family come in and he comes running into the room and they stand in shock and look at him and say, wow, what happened to you? Oh, I met Jesus. I met Jesus. I mean, mean, think of the blind who were given sight. Think of the deaf who were given their hearing. Think of the lame who were given the ability to walk. Think of those that were maimed but were made whole. I mean, folks, it's amazing. God can take our sickness and turn it in to His glory. Isn't it a strange thing? I don't know if it's crossed your mind yet, but it should have. I mean, look at my text. It says, "But Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." Who is this? This is Paul writing. Hey, folks, think about it. I mean, my. Paul was the guy who could pray and, man, people were healed. Paul was, he had the power of God upon him, and Paul could pray and folks were healed in masses, but he had to leave Trophimus at Miletum sick. Think of that. Isn't that strange? I mean, I don't think Paul was probably used to praying for somebody and God not answer. But in this case, God did not answer. And Trophimus had to stay at Miletum sick. You remember Epaphroditus, and he was the messenger that was sent from the church at Philippi. And he came to minister to Paul while he was in prison here at Rome. And Paul writes of him that he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, lest I should sorrow upon sorrow. You see, when Epaphroditus came to visit Paul, he got sick in Rome. And Paul said, man, I thought he was going to die, but I prayed for him and God healed him. And I think the reason God healed him was so I would not be brokenhearted. Isn't that amazing? I'm glad to see that somebody besides me got sick when they went to the mission field. I tell you, the sickest I ever got was when I was in India that time, the last time. I vowed, God, if you just get me home, I'll never come back. If you just get me home, I thought I'd die over there. That was the sickest. I went to the airport, and the lady looked at me and she said, "Oh, honey, you don't look good." I said, "Ma'am, I don't feel good." She said, "You are as white as a sheet." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Are you okay?" I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not." She said, "Well, what happened?" I said, I don't have any idea, but I've been here 12 days now, and something has jumped on me, and it's got a hold of me." And she gave me a business class seat upgrade and put me right by the bathroom, bless her heart. That's how sick I was. And when I got home, I said, "Lord, thank you. I'll never go back. Thank you." And I have not been back, and I have no plans to go back. I've learned my lesson. I'm going to stay right here in Westminster. I know all the germs here. I know where they are here. Boy, let me tell you, poor old Epaphroditus, he got over there, and Paul said, "I thought the man was going to die. But I prayed, and God delivered." So, folks, I'm saying sometimes God has a plan in the sickness. The point is, God gives a sickness gives God the opportunity to do some wonderful things. It helps us to pray, as we've been doing for Debbie Sams, and God has been answering those prayers. You folks prayed for me in 2010 when I was so sick. And God healed me when I was so sick with Crohn's disease. They can't find the Crohn's disease in me now. They've looked four times. They just can't believe it's not there. But it's not there. I went down to the National Institutes of Health because the people at Johns Hopkins said, "There is no way. If you've had Crohn's disease, and you did," they said, "then you still have it now. Will you go to the NIH and let NIH look at you?" And I said, "Well, it just so happens that we have a recruiter for NIH in the church that I pastor Omar, at you going? And so she said, my gastroenterologist said, well, I went to school with the head GI doctor at the NIH, and I'm going to call him and see if he will see you, and then you can get Omar to get you in. So she called, and he agreed, and I went down, spent the whole day with that man. They took 24 vials of blood out of my arm. I said, okay, that's enough. But they just kept taking more. And I said, aren't we done? Nope, one more. And took one. Well, I stood up and the whole room started to spin. But they looked at me and they said, we have never seen anybody have Crohn's disease and now not have it. And I said, well, let me tell you what happened. And I got to witness to them and told all, there were four or five doctors sitting there. And I got to tell them how you folks had the prayer meeting and prayed for me. The point is, God can sometimes have a plan in the sickness. In the church that I pastored in Illinois, before I came here, there was a family who started attending our church. And it was a mom and a dad and two girls and a boy. And they attended our church, joined our church, and were very active, very involved. And the father got sick. They did not know what was wrong with him. And so they took him to the hospital, and he just continued to get worse and worse. He became septic. And we thought for sure that we were going to lose him. And they put him in the hospital. They put him in isolation and basically told the family that they didn't give much hope that he would survive. And that family got broken before the Lord. And they began to pray, and they set up vigil to come and pray and have one of the family members there 24 hours a day praying for their father. They had heard me preach a sermon where I read out of the Psalms that the word of God is healing to our bones. And so they came to me and asked for if I had the Bible on tape. And I said, yes, I do. And they said, can we borrow it? And they gave orders to the hospital that they were to put headphones on their father and that they were to play in his ears the word of God, starting in Genesis and going all the way through Revelation. And at every 45 minutes, the nurses were to come in, flip the tape over, or put a new tape in. And they did that. And after weeks of praying and weeks of taking such good care of him and honoring their father, they saw their father come to and regain his strength and get compassion. But the nurses saw the compassion, and those nurses were witnessed to by those girls. And those girls ended up leading just about every one of those nurses to Christ. Absolutely amazing. You say, well, Pastor, why did the husband get sick? Who knows? But I do know this. Faith was drawn out of that family. And faith was exhibited to those around. And many came to know Christ as their Savior as a result of that man's sickness. It's amazing how God uses things to glorify himself. Folks, we are so selfish in our lives, and we think that everything is about us when in reality, everything is about the Lord Jesus. Then thirdly, let's think about sickness in the soul of man. Sickness gives us the opportunity to display for the display of heroic virtues of the soul to just shine through. I mean, think about it, folks. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, comma, listen to this, and all that is within me." Do you know what that means? Bless the Lord, O my soul, comma, and all that is within me. That all within human possibility is a great, great matter. And for some strange reason, many of God's choice servants through the centuries have had to suffer with sickness. Here's Paul. He said, "I got a thorn in my flesh. If I could just get rid of this thorn that is in my flesh." We don't know what it was. I said a moment ago, some folks think it was his eyesight. Who knows? Who knows? But Paul said, "If I could just get rid of this." And he prayed and he said, "Lord, remove it from me." And Paul was not used to not getting answers to prayer. But God didn't remove it. So he prayed a second time, "Lord, get rid of this thorn. If you could just get this thorn out of my flesh, I could serve you better." That was his opinion. But God did not remove it the second time. And Paul then said, "Okay, Lord, listen, I'm used to getting answers on the first prayer. I didn't get it. I didn't get it on the second, but I'm going to give you one more shot. Will you remove this thorn?" And Paul came back and said, "God did not remove the thorn. But here's what I found out. I found out that God's grace is sufficient." And Paul was able to live with the thorn. Now, folks, listen. We need to think about, instead of getting angry at God for this and that, instead of getting mad at the Lord, I mean, just realize that if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have some crosses to carry. You're going to have some burdens along the way. There's going to be some difficulties. And I'm telling you, some of the greatest men of God that have lived had to deal with issues of sickness. Charles Spurgeon, the great, great pastor over in London, England, back in the 1800s. Charles Spurgeon preached to 10,000 people every time the doors were open. He would preach an hour and a half to 2 hours every sermon. Aren't you glad you didn't live in London in the 1800s? 2 hours without a microphone preaching to 10,000 people. You had to get a ticket to get in. You had to get, the tickets were free, but you had to get the ticket to get in during the week or you couldn't get in. But Charles Spurgeon was plagued with gout in his legs and in his feet. Charles Spurgeon could hardly walk, and finally, at 56 years of age, died because of gout. Oh, how sad. How sad. I mean, Calvin, Luther, all of them through the years. Spurgeon, Dr. Rice, Dr. Malone, all of them through the years had their trials with health problems. And I could take the time to go on and on and on and tell you story after story. But the New Testament very clearly tells us that there is, that this man, Trophimus, was sick and had to be left behind. Folks, let me ask you a question. Have you let yourself get angry at God because of what you've had to deal with? Don't. Don't. Don't get angry at God. Stop and realize God has a plan. And trust Him in the midst of your storm. Realize God's in control. I've told you, and I mean this sincerely, but when I get to heaven, I got a lot of questions. I don't understand some things. And I'm going to ask, why? Why this? Why that? I don't understand. Why would God do this and God wouldn't do this? Why would God answer this prayer but he wouldn't answer this prayer? What is the deal? But I can't get angry at God because that's not my place. I cannot be God. I need to stop and let God be God. And I'm asking you this morning, you look around and you see suffering and you see sickness. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's in you. But would you trust the Lord? I know Trophimus here, bless his heart, I'm sure he stood and waved as Paul and the others left and thought, man, I wish I could go with them. But he couldn't. He was stuck because he was sick. I hope he didn't quit. And I hope you won't quit either.